Jeremiah chapter number 6. I'm going to read two different verses from the book of Jeremiah, and then we'll kind of use those verses to get into the message, if you will, this morning. Jeremiah 6, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Most of you is there. Amen. Now that you're there, I want to ask you a question before we get into the scripture this morning. And I want to ask you this question this morning. It's just something to kind of start off with, if you will. It's getting that time again, especially next year. We'll hear a lot about it, but we're starting to hear some about it a little bit already, about polling. Amen. And there's a lot of different, you watch the news, especially anything related to politics, and they're always quoting polls, ain't they? Always quoting surveys. And a lot of times, you have a million and one different people out there polling and a million and one different people out there surveying. And a lot of times it depends on how they ask the question or how they're surveying or how they're polling. They're, kind of biased, I guess you'd say, in who they call, what they do, and how they do. So you have to be careful taking stock in certain polls, right? But this morning I want to kind of ask y'all a question, if you will, that kind of a starting point for the message, and that's this, and you can kind of give me y'all's answers, some of you, and then I'll give you kind of my thoughts on it. Is the question is this: what one thing do you desire to see and have the most in this world? What one thing do you desire to see or to take place the most in this world? Who has an answer? That's the poll. That's the question.
See people saved.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? If somebody else steals your answer, then give me your second example, okay?
The rapture.
Amen. I'm with you. Amen. Anybody else? What do you desire to see the most? What's right there at the top, if you will, to see or have the most? Anybody else? Everybody's quiet. Did somebody already steal your answer?
Less drama.
Less drama. Boy, there's a good one to put at the top of the list.
Less drama.
Okay.
Everything's drama.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen. I'm not going to say I made a statement about drama yesterday. I'm not going to repeat it. Not because it was inappropriate, but it might get some of the group this morning upset at me or give me some eyeballs if I repeat that comment. But there is definitely a lot of drama. Anybody else? What one thing do you desire to see or to have the most, to see take place in the world around you the most? Is that all?
This country draws toward Christ more than it has already.
Amen.
Closer and closer to Christ.
Amen. Revival. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? All right. Now, I wonder if we was to take and actually pick up the phone and start calling people and surveying that question, what kind of answers would we get? It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I had a guy this week come in to me at work, and it was very interesting, and the Lord gave me spiritual perception with this, or either you can call it whatever, but I knew something wasn't quite measuring up when this took place. But I was there one morning this week, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I believe, and I got called to customer service over to intercom. So I go to customer service. This young man's there, nicely dressed young man, suit, jacket on, tie on, had his tablet or iPad, whatever, there in his, in his hand, when it was in a nice little leather case and everything. And that's the way most of the time the third-party vendors come into the store. Not like Coke or Pepsi, but the third-party people. Karen knows exactly what I'm talking about. I know Brother Brent does. You see them come in. Maria might remember them back in the day. And they'll price check things and that type of stuff. But that type of thing. And a lot of times the wine bigwigs, when they come in, they'll have the suit and the tie on. They'll really be dressed even nicer. So I thought at first, I said, that's who this guy is. He just wanted to introduce himself, tell me he's here, like some of them do. So anyway, I walked up and I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yeah." And he gave me his name. I don't remember his name. He said, I'm here today, he said, doing a survey of different people in the community. He said, are you the manager? And I said, yes. He said, I'm going around to local businesses doing a survey. He said, just a one-question survey. He said, asking all the management of the different businesses in the town, he said, this question. He said, so I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. And all of a sudden then I knew it wasn't a third party dude. And I knew this guy had an ulterior motive for what he was doing. I was starting to see through it as soon as he said it that way to me, because this is odd. So anyway, then he looked at me and he asked me this question. I may not be getting exact, but it's pretty close. He said, the question is, he said, does God, and as soon as he said that, I knew exactly. That blew the cover. He said, does God tempt people to do evil in this world? He said, is it God's fault, is what I'm trying to say, that he is causing people to do evil in this world? And I saw through it exactly when he did that, what all this was. As soon as he said that, I saw through it. And he took out his little tablet and flipped it around as he was asking me the question, like he was getting ready to cord my answer, which I knew then that's not what he was doing. But anyway, and I looked at him and I said, I'm not sure exactly what you're meaning. And I said, how do you mean that question? And he said, is it God's fault that all this evil is going on in the world today? Is he the one responsible for it? And is God tempting? And he kind of repeated it again. I said, no. And he said, I said, it ain't God's fault. And he looked at me and he said, you're exactly right. He said, that's what some of the people in our community saying, some of the answers they're giving. And he took and he turned around his tablet and he had a wrong Bible verse on it. And he took and read me the verse, which was way wrong, but anyway, and which really kind of disproved his point more than if he would have used that Bible, it would have proved his point more of what he was trying to say. But anyway, he took and he read the verse to me, and I can't remember what he said after that. And he said, so with that in mind, he said, I just want to leave some pamphlets with you, he said, that you can take and leave up maybe on your registers, give to your different associates to hand out. He said, or to take and read themselves. He said, maybe put in their break room. He said, and we would love to be able to do that. He said, here you go. I said, no, sir. I said, I don't need that. And I said, we don't need that stuff. And he said, well, okay, thank you. I sure do appreciate it. You have a nice day. I said, you too. And so out the door he went. And that was the end of that conversation. But you know who and what it was now, right? Jehovah's Witness. And I said, so anyway, he was taking his little survey. Amen. So, which I thought was kind of interesting, but I never seen him quite approach it in that way before, but that was a little different, unique situation. But you think about, and I'm thankful that I was the one there to be able to stop him from doing that. The Lord had that timing. But we asked the question this morning, what one thing do you desire or do we want to see the most happen? And I believe there's lots of different answers that people would give, as y'all gave some different answers, especially if we went outside of the four walls of this church building, we'd get a whole heap of different answers. But I believe for the most part, there's some top answers that people would give, more secular, outside of Christians. If you go to them, they will give you more, of course, secular, if you will, answers. And I believe one of the top things at the list is kind of what Dad wound up saying is peace. Peace. You know, no drama. No, you know, gossip. None of these things. Just peace, right? Just, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, you know, I thought about the saying of everybody getting along. Amen. You know, going along, getting along. All those types of things. You know, peace, if you will. And a lot of people may put it this way, also world peace. In other words, everybody just wants peace, right? You know, it just, you know, stop all the stuff. And that's what everybody in the world, I think, that would be near the top of the list. Maybe the only thing that might beat it out, what do you desire or want to have the most in this world? Maybe success or money. That would probably be what a lot of people's answers was. And so, or he'd win the lottery. That would be same difference up there at the top. But peace, I believe, would be right up there, especially if you went outside of our country and things of that nature. You think about some of the unrest and stuff around the world. Here in Jeremiah 6, I just read these two verses just to kind of start with this morning. It says in verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Notice that. Saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Notice with me chapter 8, Jeremiah 8 and verse number 11. Jeremiah 8 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly," there it is again, "saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Why do I point that out? Because there's some today that would say that in our country we're living in a time of peace. You say, what do you mean? Well, we're not, I guess you'd say, in a time of war as much as what maybe World War I, World War II, right? Some of those other big wars and things that we've come through. To a point, even though, and I'm going to give you the my side on a minute. I'm talking about what some people would say. Keep that in mind. But some people would try to argue, well, we've got pretty much a semi-peace time, if you will, right now in our country, right? We're not over in Iraq, you know, like we was a few years ago, or Afghanistan, as much as like we was a few years ago, that type of thing. And some might argue, well, we're somewhat in a peaceful time in our country. And we know other places in the world surely is not even as semi-peaceful as what we have. But be honest with you, I would argue that we're not in a peacetime in our country. Because you can take and turn on your news every day, and there may not be a war over in Russia that we're fighting right now, or somewhere of that nature, if you will, but there is troops stationed all around the world, right? Fighting, defending. We hear about things where they die at different times, where there's still, you know, little groups here and there at all these different countries and things where we have had wars and stuff, Afghanistan and Iraq and those types of places and stuff. And so there is still not, this is not a peacetime, really, in our world today. It's not a peacetime in our country today. You say, why do you say that? Because every day you turn on your TV, you hear about somebody getting shot, don't you? You hear about a bombing. You hear about a killing. You hear about, I'm not talking about just a, although this is one of the things, I'm not talking about just a one-on-one confrontation. That's a whole nother thing. But I'm talking about mass things, right? We see them all the time where somebody goes into a theater and just, you know, unfortunately kills a bunch of people or those types of things, or sets off a bomb somewhere or attempts to do those types of things. It's just constant, constant. I think about a few years ago there used to be a saying, and if you get on, I think it's still there, it was last time I went, if you ever go to Charlotte and you get on, or Pineville, and you get on that train that goes downtown that you ride, the I can't think of the technical term for it right now, but anyway, the what?
Blue line.
Blue line, yeah, they call it. Yeah, the line that goes downtown there, the train. You get on that train to go down there, and they'll have this saying they used to all over the place as you got in there, and it has a phone number underneath it, and you heard it on the news, especially years ago. It says, if you see something, say something. And boy, that was a thing. And how can we really say we're living in a peacetime if you got to put signs up everywhere and the news has got to say, if you see something, say something. In other words, you got the big word a few years ago, I remember when especially 9/11 and things happened, they said that. I think that's when that come out. I could be wrong on that part. Don't quote me on that. But there was a big word they used all the time on the news, and that is vigilant. Everybody needs to be vigilant. And I remember that. Everybody was using that word. You need to look, be aware of your surroundings and what's going on and taking place around you. And vigilant. If you see something, say something, report it to the authorities. And I'm not mocking any of that or saying anything bad about any of that. You need to do that with the day and time we live in. But I'm simply saying that we're not living in a peaceful time. We're really not, if you will. There's a lot of things going on around us that we could talk about. And we all know them. We see them every day. And that's one of the reasons why I believe at the top of the list would be of things that people desire to want to see the most is just simply peace in our world. Peace in our country and peace in our homes. Amen. When it comes to marriages, families, peace at the workplace. That's me, Lord. Peace everywhere. Amen. Just peace. And peace in the church house even. Amen. But you think about that, it all boils down to this too, peace in a person's heart. Amen. People all around us are looking for peace. They're wanting just peace and rest in their lives. They're trying to fill that void with drugs, with alcohol, with sexual things. They're trying to fill it with money. They're trying to fill it with stuff, with everything else in the world. They just want some peace. They just want some peace when they lay their head on their pillow at night. But this morning we're going to talk about, if you will, the true idea and some things the Bible says about peace. That wonderful peace that comes down from the Father above that we sung about a while ago, if you will. But there's only going to, the peace on this earth, let me say this before we get into the message, peace on this earth is not really going to be fully realized and happen until Jesus comes to rule and reign.
Right.
Until the Prince of Peace rules and reigns, we're not going to have peace on this earth. Not real true peace. There might be some saying peace, peace, trying to heal people slightly, but there is going to be no complete peace till He comes. There's going to be a time in the tribulation where everything's going to be somewhat, supposedly, but you know what? That's not going to be a peace time. The real time of true peace is going to be finally when the Prince of Peace takes over. Amen? When He takes over and rules and reigns, that's when then there'll be a time of true peace. Turn with me to Psalms chapter number 29, and we'll look at some things that the Bible says this morning about true peace, Bible peace. Psalms chapter number 29. Psalms 29. I'm going to look at a couple this morning and Lord willing probably finish tonight. Psalms 29 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with what? Peace." Amen. Peace is a blessing. Amen. Peace comes from God. Amen. He gives strength. He gives peace. And peace comes from Him. So the first thing I see about real, true biblical peace this morning, or real peace in a person's heart, is that peace is a gift from God. Amen. Peace is a gift from God. Or if you want to use the exact word there of the verse, it's a blessing. Amen. I'm trying to use all G's this morning, as you're going to catch on to. But it's a gift from God. Amen. It's a blessing. It's something that He gives to His people. Amen. It's something that He gives to us. You think about, without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as a person's personal Lord and Savior, you're not going to have peace in your life. There's absolutely no way this morning, folks. People take, and you talk to people sometimes, and they may put a smile on their face, amen, a lost person. They may look at you and say, "Boy, everything's great and nice and all these types of things," but you know what? Down inside, you know what there's not? Peace. They might be fake peace. They might think they have peace in their lives, but you let something happen, and there will be no peace whatsoever. I'm simply saying today, there's no peace. You let them be put, if you will, like some believers we've heard of and different things, maybe some we know. You let them be put maybe in a hospital bed, be given a bad diagnosis from a doctor, if you will, and find out that their days are numbered, and there'll be no peace at all whatsoever there. I'm not saying that if that was to happen to me or you that we would have complete peace and not have a little bit of worry or concern. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm not going to go holier than thou with you, because I'm sure somebody told me that. There'd be a little bit of concern at first in my heart too. But there would be that element there of peace that would help me through that to have the peace, knowing where I'm going and what's going to take place in the end. Amen. I'm simply saying this morning, peace is a gift from God. Peace is something I believe that you really get the day you get saved. The Lord gives you that peace in your heart, that peace in your life, knowing that everything is going to be okay. He'll give you the strength you need for the things you face. The Lord blesses His people with peace this morning. Yet one day, as I said a while ago, there's fighting all around us. I think specifically here, He's talking concerning Israel. As He says, His people, and of course, here talking about Israel. But you think about, Israel has always been what? Fighting, pretty much, hadn't they? They've always had battles. As soon as they get out of one, seems like another come. The nations of the world is always, for the most part, not like them, right? There's always been something going on. But one day, guess what? God's going to bless them with peace. Amen. One day their time of peace is coming when the Prince of Peace comes, like I mentioned earlier. You think about today, folks, but yet we can have peace in the midst of these things in our lives because it's a gift of God. Amen. It's something that He gives to us. Notice with me Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. You're familiar with these verses, but I believe they're real important to see how peace is a gift from God this morning. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. Ephesians 2:8. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, our salvation is something that's by grace through faith. Amen. It's not something we work for, or earn, or deserve, or merit, or any of those types of things, if you will. Or by checking off all these little boxes that's on a sacrament list, like the Catholics believe, or none of those types of things. Or taking your pilgrimage here, or having to do all these things to attain it. No, we get salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, when we get salvation, that's the gift of God. Then He gives us that peace in our hearts. Amen. Knowing that if something was to happen to us, where we would go. Amen. Peace is a gift from God. Romans 6:23. You're familiar with the verse of Scripture. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, this morning, what we deserve is punishment, separation, eternally in hell from God. That's not peace, knowing that one day you're going to have to pay for your sin. Knowing there's going to come a reckoning day, you can't have peace. But you know what? For those that are saved, we have been given the gift of God of peace in our hearts. Yes. Knowing that we may not know, as the song says, who holds tomorrow, but we know who holds our hand. Whether we have tomorrow here or we have tomorrow there, we know that everything's going to be okay. You think about peace this morning is a gift of God. But not just that. Turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalms chapter 119, and we'll see the second thing about Bible peace. Real peace is something that comes from God. It's a gift from God. It's a blessing from God. And it can only really be known and realized by those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. As I preached on and pointed out a long time ago, most of you probably done forgot by now, but if you look at a lot of the beginnings, if you will, of the books that Paul wrote, he said, grace and peace be unto you, is what he would tell to the believers a lot of times. And sometimes he'd insert the word knowledge in there, I believe, as well. Why was grace, you look at them, and if you find it different, you tell me, but from my memory, I'm 99% sure I'm right on this. Every time that he used that, grace was always before peace. And that's important. You say, why? Because grace, you got to know it, you got to have it, you got to be saved before you can have that real peace. Amen. Grace always becomes before peace, amen, in a person's life. You got to know and experience His grace to experience His peace. It's a gift of God. But Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, amen. Psalms 119, 165, the Bible says, and this, the Lord reminds me of this verse often, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Boy, I tell you, there's a great verse of Scripture right there. You ought to mark it in your Bibles and mark it in your head and mark it in your heart. Amen. I never, as far as I know of, I have never sat down and said, hey, I'm going to memorize this verse. But for some reason, the Lord's implanted it in my head and heart. And I'm thankful for that. But the second thing today about peace is, it's a gift from God, but the second thing is there is great peace that can be had. Amen. Great peace that can be had. Notice God's peace is a gift, but it's also great. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you want great peace in your heart and in your life, it's a gift. But if you want it, you also got to realize that the only way to have this great peace is to love God's law. Amen. To love simply, if you will, God's Word. Amen. To love the things that the Bible tells us to do and not to do. Amen. If you want great peace, you need to love God's law. The Lord is the only one this morning that can bring peace. And by keeping His law, by following the things in His Word, what it says, applying it to our hearts and lives with His help, then we can have great peace in our life. Amen. We can have great peace. And I don't know about you, I like the idea of having peace in my life. Amen. But you know what I like even better? The idea of having great peace. Amen. Having peace is good. Having great peace is greater. Amen. It's even better. Amen. It's like having the cake with the icing on it and eating it too, Brother Gary. Amen. You think about great peace. And if you can have not just peace, but great peace, the Bible says, have they, here's the ones that can have it, those that what? love thy law. I'm glad to know this morning that there's a chance to have great peace in a person's heart and life if they'll take and simply love God's Word. Amen. If they'll love the things that it says. But yet a lot of people don't love God's Word today. Instead, they want to revise it. They want to edit it. They want to criticize it. Amen. They want to run it down. They want to say it's errors. They want to say it's fables. They want to say it's fairy tales. They want to try to pick it all apart. They want to try to say it's untrue. Whatever else you want to say. They want to try to push it in the background or malign it and those types of things. But you know what? If you want great peace in your life, you need to love God's Word. You need to love God's Word. We've said many times that Psalms 119, that every verse in there has a reference to God's Word in it. And you think about the fact that here is a good verse that references God's Word and the fact that we need to love the things that God says in His Word. We need to love the things that He says in His law, in our hearts and in our lives. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Do you realize who you're talking to this morning? You're talking to the regular folks at Faith Baptist Church that's here almost every Sunday unless you're sick, out, or are unable to be here because of some reason. Don't it by me being here show somewhat that I do love the Lord? That I do love God's Word and got an interest somewhat at least? And I would say, yes, it does. But you know what? I would remind you like I did, I think, last week or here recently. Don't just say that and dismiss what I'm saying this morning. Because remember, there was someone else who dismissed when the Lord told him, said, hey, lovest thou me? And he said, oh yeah, you know I love you. That's the same thing what I believe we can, if we're not careful, do when we see this verse this morning. Well, of course I love your Word, Lord. I'm going to your house to hear that man talk about it every Sunday. I'm going to hear Brent talk about it every Sunday morning. Of course I love your Word. But do we really love it? Amen. I've used the example many times, and I believe it's true, that you think about your marriage relationship. If you took and you only listened to your wife or your husband 2 days a week for a couple hours on those days, not even all day long, how much would you really love them that way? If Brother Gary told his wife, okay, you got from 10 till 12 today, Sunday, I'm going to listen to what you say, but you better be done at 12 because you're going to be infringing on my lunchtime if you're not. She'd die and would look at him. And he might have a skillet being run after him. Right? If, well, I ain't going to go into that one. But anyway, if I was to look at Kelly and I was to say, Kelly, it's Wednesday night, 7 and 8 o'clock. No, wait a minute, I'm too tired. I don't care what you got to say tonight. I'm going to stay at home. I can watch TV. But I don't care what you got to say. That's what we do as God's children. But yet we say, oh yeah, I love His Word. You see what I'm saying tonight? This morning I'm simply saying that great peace have they which love thy law. Don't just dismiss this so quickly this morning. How much do we really love God's Word? How much do we really love His law? Another way to judge how much we love God's Word, of course, how much time we spend in it, as I just mentioned, or how much time we spend in His house, but also simply the fact of how much we obey it. Jesus said that over in John, and we could turn there where He talked about it. I believe it was John 14, 15, or somewhere in that nature, where He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Great peace have they which love thy law. Amen. In other words, if we love the Lord, we'll obey the Lord. That's how we can show we love Him. A lot of times we can use those lips and those things can speak good and sometimes get us in trouble, as we talked about in Sunday school. But you know what? The actions do speak louder. Amen. The actions do speak louder. Lips speak too, and they can speak pretty loud. But the actions do speak louder when we show the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm simply saying today, great peace is something the Bible says can be had. Great peace have they which love thy law. Today, how much do you love the law of the Lord? How much do you love God's Word? Be honest this morning. Is it something that you need to grow to love more, that I need to grow to love more? Lord, help me to love Your Word this morning more. Maybe that's something we all need to pray in our hearts. Help us to love it more. You think about Here there's something else, though, that's interesting, and that's the second part of this verse. It says, and nothing shall offend them. Those that have great peace are the ones that love God's law. Great peace have they, which thou thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You take and you look at that word offend, and it means this, stumbling block. Stumbling block. You look up the word offend, it means stumbling block. Now, you think about a stumbling block could be a lot of different things. I think about right here what we got to get fixed, and I tried to get fixed, and the brother tried, but he couldn't quite get there. There's a stumbling block right here, so all y'all be careful. You say, what's the stumbling block? The wrinkle in the carpet. Amen. If you ain't careful, you might not even know it's there. You might not even notice this there. Some of y'all probably haven't even noticed this is here. But it's a little wrinkle where the carpet's wrinkled up. And you'll be walking along, and next thing you know, you ain't careful, you'll stumble. Maybe you've been in a grocery store somewhere. Please don't come to Bilo and do this. But maybe you've been in a grocery store, because it's a three-hour project for me, at least, when you leave, when this happens. But I want you to follow anyway. But if somebody takes and they come in, they turn around the corner and they slip and fall. Maybe there's water on the floor. Maybe there's not water on the floor. Maybe they think there's water on the floor. Maybe they just want money. Who knows? But all that aside, a something to stumble on. Something to fall. Maybe you just trip over your own feet. Amen? You think about that happens too, right? And so you think about simply this morning, he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The thing that spoke to my heart about this was, you know, there's two different ways I guess you could take this thought this morning. And the first thought is this, that if you love God's Word, you're in God's Word, then guess what? You're going to have peace, but you're also going to stay from falling. He's going to keep you from falling. God's Word is going to keep you from falling. I'm not talking about falling in the sense of losing your salvation. Okay? But if you love God's Word enough, what are you going to do? You're going to be in it. You're going to be around it. You're going to be reading it. You're going to be studying it. And when some error comes along, what are you going to know? You're not going to stumble on it. Because you know what God's Word says. And I say today, that's why a lot of times people get stumbled. They get caught up in false doctrine and things. They think, oh, I know this. No, be careful. Let him that standeth take heed lest he, what's that word? Fall. In other words, maybe the reason why we see so many falling is because we don't love God's Word and know God's Word as much as what we should. You think about simply today, great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. I believe another thing that the Lord brought to my mind thinking about a stumbling block is sometimes people might take and say or do something that offends us that can cause us to what? Stumble. Sometimes a person can offend us and be that literal stumbling block. Amen? They can take and lay down in our path. The lost man can. Or a saved person that's the way they are sometimes, that they shouldn't be, allowing the devil to do things with them and whatnot. But they take and they might lay down in our path to try to set up a trap like the Pharisees and Sadducees did with the Lord Jesus to try to get us to what? Stumble and fall. To try to get us to hurt the name of the Lord, to hurt His testimony, amen, if you will. And you think about the fact I'm saying today, but if we're in God's Word, we know God's Word, then guess what we can do? Even when that person comes along and we want to take and fly off the handle, they used words with us, so we want to use words right back to them. Great peace have they which love thy law. And realize that, hey, guess what? Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Amen. In other words, we can have peace no matter what's going on around us. How many times have we said it? Because of the Lord that's in our hearts. No matter what somebody may be saying, no matter what somebody may be doing, we can still have peace because of greater Him that's within us than he that's in the world. You think about simply this morning, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There are people today, we talked about it, Brother Brent mentioned it even in Sunday school this morning when we first started. People are so sensitive today in our day and time we live in. It doesn't take much to take and offend somebody. We shouldn't be trying to offend people, make them upset, but it don't take much. And you think about simply the fact that the Bible says here, great peace have they. The reason why I'm pointing this out is simply don't let us be the ones, amen, that become super sensitive, politically correct with things, that it doesn't take but that much, and we get so bent out of shape. Realize, love God's Word and have peace. Realize if somebody says something against you, realize, just pray for them. Amen. Ask the Lord to take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let Him handle it. I don't care what gossip they're saying, what they're doing. Give it to God, have peace, and let Him handle it. Amen. Great peace have they, which love thy law. Nothing. Boy, that's pretty strong. Nothing. Don't matter how big it is. Don't matter how small it is. Don't matter if it can be seen or with the naked eye or something that's so hard to see. Nothing shall offend them. That's pretty strong language. You think about great peace can be had if we take and we end God's Word and love God's Word and follow in God's Word like we ought to daily in our lives. Why do we have, I believe, a lack of peace as believers in our lives a lot of times? Because we're lacking when it comes to loving this. We're lacking when it comes to loving this. I didn't say you didn't love it. I said we're lacking when it comes to loving it. Amen. You know, it's kind of like sometimes there's certain people we love, but we never tell them we love them. There's certain people we love, we never show them we love them. There's certain people we love, we never... You think about, the Lord shouldn't be that way. Amen. He's the one that we're supposed to love, the Bible says, with all our body, soul, strength, might, everything within us, we're to love Him. Amen. And you think about, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. This morning, the true peace is a gift of God. True peace is great peace. But the third thing and the last thing we'll look at probably this morning is found in Isaiah 26. The third thing about biblical peace. Isaiah 26 in verse number 3. And this one is another one of them verses that the Lord reminds me of often. Again, I never sit down to memorize this verse, but the Lord imprinted it upon my heart and I'm thankful for it. Isaiah 26, 3. I can never remember where it is, but I sure can remember what it says. Amen, which is the important thing anyway, I guess. Isaiah 26, 3. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him. Thou is referring to God. Thou. Thou wilt keep him. In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he, here's why, trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Boy, I love that verse 3 especially, but verse 4 is a good one too. In other words, he says here the third thing is that peace is a gift from God. God's peace is great peace, but thirdly, God's peace is glorious peace. Amen. It's glorious peace. Or if you want to break from the G to use the word that's in the verse, perfect. Amen. God's peace is a perfect peace. It's a glorious peace. Amen. Notice it said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Amen. That glorious peace that he can give, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Here we see that those that take and keep their mind stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that keep their mind stayed on God, stayed on the things of God, they're going to have what? Perfect peace. That's why, another reason why, and another good verse that proves this morning that a lost person, they're not going to have peace. They're not going to know peace. Because what lost person is going to be honest, honestly, is going to say, my mind stayed on God all the time. But yet I ain't saved and I don't accept Him as my Savior. It's not going to happen, is it? But the person that has perfect peace is the one that has, if you will, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. If we keep our mind stayed on the Lord, guess what the Lord's going to do? He's going to take and He's going to keep us that way. If we take and we keep our minds on Him, He's going to keep us at peace. He's going to keep us at peace if we keep our minds stayed on Him. But I ask you a couple questions this morning with that in mind. Are you worried all the time? I didn't say shake your head. I didn't say raise your hand. Because my hand would have to go up. Are you worried all the time? Are you worried all the time? Let me rephrase the question. Are you worried a lot of times? Are you worried a lot of times? Are you upset a lot of times? Are you mad a lot of times? Are you angry a lot of times? Are you frustrated a lot of times? Are you infuriated a lot of times? I keep on going. Are you what? Are you human a lot of times? Yeah, okay. There you go. Are you worried a lot of times? Question number 2. Are you complaining all the time? I'm going to duck so that don't hit me. Are you complaining all the time? My feet and heart's hurting really bad right now. Are you complaining all the time? Are you fussing all the time? Let's just be a little more blunt. Now, this would be not politically correct. Are you whining all the time? Like a baby. Are you griping all the time? Are you moaning all the time? Are you complaining and grumbling and whining and moaning and groaning all the time? I do every time I get out the floor at work. But anyway, it gets harder and harder to get up out that floor. But anyway, third question. Are you unsatisfied and always not content? That can really be answered by looking at the one I just asked about complaining. Are you always unsatisfied, always unhappy? You've heard people say this before. Maybe you've said it about somebody else, or maybe somebody else has said this to you. I'm not trying to cause a marriage conflict this morning, but maybe your wife has said it to you, or your husband has said it to you, or vice versa. However, I make sure I include both parties. I think I did there. You know what? Nothing pleases you. I can't make you happy no matter what I do. Maybe you said that to a boss at work before. I can't do anything. I cannot please you. And you feel like the question is, are you unsatisfied? Always not content. Always not content. Always not satisfied. No matter what's done or how things is done, it's always wrong. It's always just aggravating, whatever you want to say. Now I ask you a fourth question. With those first three or more in mind, what are you thinking about that makes you feel this way? Now I sound like a self-help teacher up here, but anyway, for a few minutes, I'm going to go there. What makes you feel that way, Brother Gary? What makes you feel that way, Brother Brent? Why do you feel so upset? What's wrong? Why do you feel, Brother Gary? Brother Gary, why is your head hanging low? Why are you so sad? Why is your face red?
That's right.
Why is there smoke coming out your ears?
That's right.
I hear you.
Yeah, we got the point.
What's wrong? Why are you that way? Where is your mind that makes you upset? Where is your mind that makes you complain? Where is your mind that makes you worry? Where is your mind that makes you infuriated? Where is your mind that makes you aggravated? Where is your mind that makes you do all the things that I just mentioned? That's enough, okay? Where's your mind? Where's your mind? I can tell you one place it ain't. What's it say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You can fill in the blank with all those things. But you know what? If we've got those things going on, our mind ain't stayed on the Lord. I'm not saying it ain't never on the Lord. Notice this verse don't say that. There's a key word in there, and it's the word stayed. Stayed. Amen. Why is that important? Because what happens in my life and what might happen in yours is I come to church and my mind gets on the Lord. I go home, something happens, and my mind didn't stay on the Lord. It gets on this. I get up in the morning, I read my Bible. I go to work. Somebody does something. Something happens. And all of a sudden, my mind ain't stayed on the Lord. It's went over here. You see what I'm saying? Great peace, the Bible says. But notice also this one, it makes the point, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I ask you today, where's your mind staying? Where's your mind staying all the time? Is it wandering? Because if it would stay in this place, the Lord would keep you in perfect peace. You want perfect peace? Let your mind stay on God and stay on the things of Him. Boy, if we could do that, how much of a better place our lives would be, our homes would be, our workplaces would be, and this world would be. If we could just take and keep our minds stayed on Him. You think about today when our minds don't stay on Him and His glorious peace, there's no room for complaining. There's no room for grumbling. There's no room for any of those things that we went through. Why? Because we stayed on Him. We stayed on Him. I think about this morning, there's several lots of songs that I thought about that's been written that I believe we could use that apply here. And one of them says, "Why should I worry? Why should I fear? This very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. When I call on His name, storm passes by." Just keep your mind stayed on Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, like we talked about last week with Peter and the walking on the water. There's another song that I remember from high school that was sung a lot. It says, "You don't have to worry." You don't have to. That's good. That's enough right there. "And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Troubles, they don't last always. There's a friend in Jesus who can wipe those tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. Because no matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands." You think about, the song goes on to say, "Sometimes your tests and troubles, they seem to get you down. All your friends and loved ones, they're nowhere to be found. Remember, there's a friend in Jesus who can wipe your tears away. If your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand no matter what may come my way. My life is in your hands." That's verse 4. What did it say? And the end of verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." My life's in your hands. "Trust ye in the Lord." My life's in your hands. "For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting" what? "Strength." You think about simply this morning. Peace, God's peace, real peace, Bible peace. It's peace that's a gift of God. It's peace that's great and it's peace that's glorious. If you want this type of peace in your life, then I encourage you to keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your heart on the Lord. Love the Lord's Word and stay in it and stay surrounded with it. And realize that the only way you can have it is if it comes from God. You think about today, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. And y'all like this word, and all believers do. The verse starts off with "finally." Somebody say amen. "Brethren," Paul told them, "farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." May the Lord help us this morning to live and walk in the peace that He wants us to have every day in our lives. Let's pray.